just making all the seven steps. Today we'll be having a presentation by Mr. Chaitanya Karan Prabhu. And we have gone on our teacher training course to Mayapur. That Chaitanya Karan Prabhu gave a very amazing presentation on different facets of Srila Prabhupada. So he has been reading Lilamrita, Prabhupada Lilamrita, and with his understanding of Prabhupada's life and pastimes, from various angles, how to appreciate Srila Prabhupada. So he has given a wonderful presentation in Mayapur. So I request today, also, to speak about how Prabhupada is the spiritual ambassador of India, who brought about a great transformation all over the world. So he has prepared a presentation, and I know that your peers are approaching, fast approaching, and the submissions are starting also. So this will be the last meeting for the semester, and we request all of you to take inspiration from this and continue your chanting and spiritually wonderfully. And after you complete the exams, then there are many other programs. So I thank all of you despite your submissions starting immediately many of you come today. And now let us join with us. What did you say for this?
The legacy of love.
The legacy of love.
ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकाय चक्षुरोन्मिलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपा कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम् वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरौ श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातां सहगण रघुनाथान्वितं तां सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपादान् सहगण ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च नमा ओं विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामीति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे नमो महावदन्याय कृष्ण प्रेम कृष्णाय कृष्णचैतन्याय गौरत्विषे नमः हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधो दीनबंधो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी ऋषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
हरे कृष्णा we welcome all of you to our concluding meeting of ISKCON Youth Forum. Today we'll be discussing about the legacy of love. Srila Prabhupada, our founder Acharya, he has actually bequeathed, he has given to us a very glorious legacy. So we will try to understand it, and we will try to appreciate Srila Prabhupada as a universal teacher and welfare worker. Is it that because we are now coming to ISKCON, so we think that our founder Srila Prabhupada is a great person, and every organization that we go to, they will say that their founder is a great person. So is it that we are glorifying Srila Prabhupada because just he's the founder of an organization? This is a very limited understanding. And the non-sectarian universal nature of Srila Prabhupada's teachings and his legacy can be understood, first of all, by having a glimpse of some of the gems of wisdom that he gave us. Yes, please. So, this, can we have the mic circulating? Someone can read the quotes as they come. Loud and clear. So, this statement forms the underlying basis of the whole Krishna consciousness movement. Yes, please.
Poverty means poverty of knowledge.
Yeah. Poverty means poverty of knowledge. Generally, we are accustomed to thinking of poverty in terms of a person who is poor, he doesn't have food to eat. Srila Prabhupada, he saw that if a person does not have spiritual knowledge, then he can never have access to any real happiness. And he can never remedy his suffering situation. It is something analogous to a person suffering from an excruciatingly painful disease. He may have a lot of wealth, he may have a lot of loving family members, he may have all the opulences that a person can dream of. But if he does not have the knowledge of how to cure that disease, then he is poverty stricken. Similarly, Srila Prabhupada taught that without spiritual knowledge, everything that we have, it cannot help us in either stopping suffering or achieving happiness. And therefore he said, poverty means poverty of knowledge. In fact, when Srila Prabhupada went to America, which is considered to be the world's wealthiest country, at that time Prabhupada told the Americans, most of the Indian politicians and other leaders, they come there and they say, oh, we are a poor country, please give us some charity, please give us some monetary help or technological help. Srila Prabhupada said, I have not come here to take, I have come here to give. So this was Srila Prabhupada's underlying conviction that India was the wealthiest country in the whole world. And what was that wealth? We'll see next. Next, please. Yeah.
There is no other greater enemy than the mind, who is uncontrolled and always going astray.
We may achieve any amount of external success. We may become wealthy, we may become scholarly, we may become famous. But if our own mind is not in our control, then all the other external success is of no value. And how the mind is tormenting and destroying the entire human race can be very tragically seen from the statistics of depression, addictions and suicides. The World Health Organization has said that every year 1 million people commit suicide. This 1 million count is more than the total number of deaths that occur due to wars and violent crimes combined together. So this is an unconsidered enemy of the human race. Because of uncontrolled mind, people take substances to destroy their own bodies. They take alcohol, they take drugs, or at a more violent level, they develop perverted ideologies and ideas by which they destroy others. So, there is no greater enemy than the mind, who is uncontrolled and always going astray. So the whole world is caught up with symptomatic problems. Poverty, unemployment, scarcity. However, all these problems, even if we solve them, there are many people in this world who are not poor. There are many people who are employed. There are many people who don't have any shortage. There are many people who are well educated. But the mind is troubling even them. So this is the invisible cause of suffering of everyone. That's why Srila Prabhupada did not consider that only the poor people in India or other third world countries were suffering. He considered that anyone who does not have the knowledge of how to control the mind is actually poor and he is suffering. So everybody is enslaved and victimized by their own uncontrolled mind and senses. And Srila Prabhupada he taught how that mind can be controlled. Next, please. Yes?
If you tell a thief not to steal, despite all sorts of warnings, he will still continue to steal. Therefore, the best way is not to prohibit by laws, but to cleanse the heart. That is the real prevention of sinful activities.
And Srila Prabhupada was approached by the New York police head. He asked him, does Krishna consciousness offer a solution to crime? And this was what Prabhupada said in that context. In America, the biggest industry after defense is prisons. The world's wealthiest country is spending more money on maintaining its prisoners than on any other portfolio. It tragically depicts the state of the world. So, just by enforcing laws, there is no possibility of reforming people. In fact, a petty thief goes into a jail, associates with hardcore criminals, and himself becomes a murderer. So, unless we cleanse the heart of people, unless we free them from that mentality to do wrong, no other measure will serve anything other than a cosmetic purpose. It has to be superficial. So, Srila Prabhupada explains how that heart can be cleansed. Next, please. Yeah.
The world is anxious to for peace, and this is the actual method, change of consciousness.
Yeah, Prabhupada. Change of consciousness. Many times when people hear the name of the society which Prabhupada founded, International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Remember, what is this Krishna consciousness? So, consciousness is what we are conscious of, what we think, what we consider ourselves to be, what we consider our goals to be, and what we consider the world to be meant for. Srila Prabhupada taught that actually we are all children of God, and our real happiness is in developing our relationship with God, not in trying to manipulate and exploit people and resources in this world of suffering and death. When Srila Prabhupada went to London, at that time, a reporter asked him, Swamiji, why have you come here? So Prabhupada replied, when you Britishers came to India, you plundered all the wealth of India, but you forgot to take the most precious jewel. I have come to give you what you forgot to take. So that is the Vedic wisdom. And Srila Prabhupada said, and I have come to tell you what you have forgotten. That is God. Without God, we can never be happy. When we understand that God is our Father, then we naturally get His protection, His care, and we see the whole world as a family. Vasudhaiva Kutumbakam. For Srila Prabhupada, this was not just a sentimental concept. It was a clear reality which by his tireless efforts, he transformed in and actualized in many parts of the world. So change of consciousness from selfish material enjoyment to selfless spiritual service. From taking to giving. From lust to love. From greed to contentment. From anger to self-control. From envy to respect. That was a transformation of consciousness that Prabhupada considered of paramount importance to bring about any solution to the problems of the world in a lasting way. Next, please. Yes?
We have to defeat tyranny on the realm of thought and create in the heart of all the people a will for world peace.
Yes. Tyranny in the realm of thought. What Srila Prabhupada refers to by this is that in the modern educational system, any spiritual concept, God, soul, or law of karma, or any other such concepts are a priori rejected. There is no scientific experiment anywhere which proves the non-existence of God. There is no scientific study or research or demonstration to say that the soul does not exist. But a priori, the modern education system has rejected all these fundamental spiritual tenets. And a student can go through the entire educational system without even coming to know that God exists or that He is a soul. Now, of course, science is turning around and many scientific institutes are actually getting strong evidence suggestive of the existence of soul and God. But Prabhupada considers this to be tyranny in the realm of thought, of not allowing people to be educated about the spiritual reality of life. About educating people that just a materialistic way of life will make them happy. He considered this to be tyranny. Because this is in no way a proven reality, and it ruins the individual and it ruins the world by making everyone just materialistic. So, Prabhupada considered that all suffering in this world, especially in the modern times, is because of ignorance. As he said, poverty means poverty of knowledge. So not only is there ignorance, but even the attempt for propagating spiritual knowledge is not encouraged. In fact, it is curtailed to a large extent. When Srila Prabhupada tried to spread the Vedic culture in India, he got no support from any of the leaders or any of the government agencies. When he wanted to spread Indian culture abroad, he got no support. He had to do everything alone. So there is a concerted attempt to suppress spiritual knowledge. And that is what Prabhupada considered as tyranny in the realm of thought. Next. So Srila Prabhupada, he is known by the epithet, Your Ever Well-Wisher. He was a messenger of God who came in this world to tell all of us, the forgetful children of God, that we are all meant to be happy eternally. And he taught how to become happy. So Srila Prabhupada's legacy can be principally divided into three categories. He taught what is the goal of life. The educational system doesn't teach us that. And then he taught the means to achieve that goal of life. That we develop love of God by practicing spiritual life. By chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, by associating with devotees. And then he gave us a legacy, gives an organization and devotees who can guide and inspire us and offer us a culture where we can pursue this goal of life. So these are his teachings. And now we will see how he spread these teachings all over the world. Srila Prabhupada, when he was in India, he had his own pharmaceutical business with which he was planning to earn money so that his other god brothers, the other devotees, they could carry on the preaching mission. But by the will of Providence, his business collapsed. For many businessmen, the collapse of their business is like a devastating reversal. But Srila Prabhupada just remained unflinching in his determination to continue on preaching. And he wrote his entire commentary on the Bhagavad Gita and travelled all over India to try to raise funds. Finally, when he got the funds, he found that his Bhagavad Gita was sold away by his family members, thinking that it is just some garbage, some raddi. For author to have his work lost like this is crushing. Srila Prabhupada was unflinching. Later on, he started an organization, League of Devotees, in New Delhi, in Jhansi. But because of a political intrigue, the place where he started that organization was taken away from him. He continued on with single-minded determination. He started a magazine, The Back to Godhead. And he was personally writing the articles and distributing the issues all over Delhi, walking hand to hand. And at one time, the temperature was so excruciatingly hot that Prabhupada got a sunstroke. Just collapsed in the streets of Delhi, alone. Here he was, a pure servant of God, lying on the streets, helpless. But he was not concerned about his own shelter or food or clothing. He had all of them and he had given that up so that he could give spiritual food, clothing and shelter to the whole world. Then, despite all these reversals, Srila Prabhupada had a grand plan that he would go abroad and he would preach to the Americans. So this is Srila Prabhupada climbing on the Jaladut. So, just try to conceive the courage that is required to go abroad alone at the age of 70, not knowing anyone there. And what is he going to teach them? He was going to teach them to give up meat eating, intoxication, illicit sex, gambling, and to worship Krishna as the goal of their life. Krishna, whom they consider to be just a pure mythological Hindu figure. It was his impossible mission. And not one single person encouraged him all the time. But Srila Prabhupada had faith that all these are just externals. Indians are enamored by Western culture. So he envisioned that if Americans take to Krishna consciousness, then Indians are imitating the Americans. So the Americans, when they become Krishna conscious, when they become devoted to God, then the Indians will follow. But this vision, he started abroad. Next. This is Srila Prabhupada on the Jaladut. The only material resource that Prabhupada had when he went abroad, he had no money, he had no contacts, he had no organizational support. The only resource that he had was his own body. And that body collapsed. He got 2 heart attacks in successive days. He was alone, no medical attention. He somehow tolerated the pain. And on the third night, Lord Krishna himself came in his dream and reassured him that I will take you across to America. And I have arranged everything for you. And Captain Pandya, he repeats that after that, he reports that after that, the journey to America was the most peaceful that he has experienced in his entire career as a captain of a ship. So Krishna, Prabhupada explained that Krishna protected the ship. And then when Prabhupada came to America, he did not see happy, prosperous Americans. He saw forgetful, suffering souls. He saw that people are dedicated to the illusion of material happiness, and he prayed to the Lord, "My dear Lord, please make me an instrument, make my words understandable to them so that your message will be understood." When he came to New York, he did not know whether to turn left or right. Next. This was a place in New York, Bowery. The Bowery is a place worse than the Dharavi slums. It is a place where drunkards and drug addicts and illicit sex mongers, they come together. And Prabhupada was living there. And there he started giving the message of Godhead to these people. When Srila Prabhupada would walk on the streets of the Bowery, on all sides there would be bums lying half drunk. One day Srila Prabhupada was returning from the Bowery and there were 2 bums lying unconscious on the footsteps of the room in which he was staying. And he tried to prod them awake. One of them was dead. So death was very common over there. Because all these people would be high on drugs and then they would die. So Srila Prabhupada was living in such a situation. He had a small room, a loft. And one day, the person with whom he was staying, David, he went mad because of drugs and he attacked Prabhupada. Prabhupada was alone, an old man, 70-year-old, defenseless. And he just had to run out of that place. And he came on the streets. His room had become an insane terror. But the streets of the Bowery were also a chaotic hell. Everywhere the bums were lying drunk. He did not know where to go or whom to turn to. He had to face the fact that he, Bhaktivedanta Swami, who when in India had personally met and had been felicitated by Lal Bahadur Shastri, who had a standing invitation to meet the Vice President of India, Dr. Zakir Hussain, who was a celebrated author of the Srimad Bhagavatam, well known in literary circles all over India, he who was a respected sannyasi in Vrindavan, he was alone in America. With not one friend of standing. Why had he left everything and come? He had come because he knew that without God, no one can be happy. And he had come out of his love for all living beings, for all of us. So there, although Prabhupada was homeless, he writes that, I never felt that I was homeless. Everywhere was my home. Because he saw everything as the kingdom of God. And he himself is a child of God. Everything was a home for him. And then gradually from there, such humble beginnings, Prabhupada started his worldwide preaching. Next, please. Yes. Gradually, he started convincing people about the message of Krishna. In fact, the East Side Adar, the newspaper of the Bowery, it reported that this Bhaktivedanta Swami, a 70-year-old man, has come and convinced the world's toughest audience that he knows the way to God. The hippies, they were, since their childhood, trained to rebel and reject everything. They rejected the Christian religion, they rejected the Western culture, they rejected the West American government. They were rejecting everything. And yet Prabhupada, by the power of his pure devotion and dedication, he made these hippies into devotees. It is not very difficult for a person to become wealthy or famous. But with all the wealth of America, the American government could not save these hippies. They could not free them from drug addiction. But Srila Prabhupada, with no financial help, just the power of the holy name, he transformed these hippies. Once a reporter was asking Srila Prabhupada, Swamiji, are your followers hippies? So Prabhupada, in his own inimitable style, he said, no, they are not hippies, they are happies. Which they were hippies, they were miserable, but Srila Prabhupada, by giving them devotion to God, he transformed them. Then the reporter asked him, if all of America takes to your path, what will happen? So Prabhupada said, there will be no more hippies. And all Americans will become happy. That was his vision. That was his faith. And he was not just saying it, he transformed it. Where the American government literally threw up its hands. In the Lower East Side in New York, in the Haight-Ashbury, in San Francisco, and in several other parts of the United States, there was no way that drug addicts could be reclaimed. But hundreds and hundreds and thousands of them Srila Prabhupada transformed just by giving them the holy name. We discussed earlier in Prabhupada's teaching, the mind is the enemy. And Srila Prabhupada knew how to tame the mind by devotion to God. So Srila Prabhupada succeeded where the world's most powerful country's government failed, in transforming the derelicts of American society. Here we see Prabhupada, his disciples, going on a morning walk. Srila Prabhupada would instruct his disciples through nature. For him, philosophy was not armchair speculation, it was a living reality. And he would actually help his disciples and followers to see God in nature. One time there was a professor who came on his walk. And then like this only Prabhupada was going. And Swamiji, Prabhupada asked him, so what is the current scientific knowledge about the soul? So the professor replied, Professor Benford from Dallas State University, he replied that currently there is no scientific knowledge of the soul. So Prabhupada said, therefore there is no scientific knowledge at all. Shocked. No, Swamiji. Scientific knowledge is of a different kind. So Prabhupada said that it is the self who has all knowledge. If you don't know the self, then what do you actually know? So then Professor Benford said, but we have so much knowledge. For example, he said that we now know how this grass grows. We didn't know that before. Now we have volumes and volumes of books written on how the biochemical molecules in the grass cause it to grow. Srila Prabhupada replied, even without your knowledge, the grass was growing. So what's the use? Then this professor, he said, if God did not want us to study that grass, then why did he put the grass there? Prabhupada replied, my point is, rather than studying the God who put the grass there, you study the grass and forget the God. So Prabhupada was not against material knowledge. But he was against the exclusion of God from material knowledge. In fact, he said that when the scientist, the philosopher and the medical man, they come to know, they get the opportunity to study scientifically what is God, then alone there will be paradise on the earth. So this is how Srila Prabhupada instructed through his books, through his talks. And just go back to the previous slide, please. Yeah. So Srila Prabhupada, he met scholars wherever he went, in different parts of the country. But he was undefeatable. He, with his knowledge of the Bhagavad Gita, he was not a scientist. But even big, big scientists and philosophers and scholars, they had to accept Srila Prabhupada's simple and sublime explanation of the universal truths of life. In fact, he was not only undefeatable, it was not out of arrogance or pride. In fact, he saw every soul as a forgetful servant and son of God, and he wanted to reform everyone by giving them knowledge. That was Srila Prabhupada's scholarship. In fact, one Indian scholar, after seeing Prabhupada's literary contribution, he said that, seeing how many books he has translated, we feel that it is like the ancient Vyasdev come again to present his own message in the modern times. That was Srila Prabhupada's wisdom. In fact, we'll discuss later about Srila Prabhupada's literacy legacy. Next, please. This is Srila Prabhupada. What is this landmark? Yeah, the Eiffel Towers. So, Srila Prabhupada, he taught that real knowledge is not just building big, big structures and then demolishing them to build other structures. He taught that real knowledge means that we achieve eternal happiness. And here under the Eiffel Tower, he's enlightening his disciples and followers in what real knowledge is. Srila Prabhupada started the movement in America, and then from there gradually it spread all over the world, to Europe, to Australia, to Africa, to India, to South America. In fact, Srila Prabhupada, he traveled the whole world 14 times. And wherever he went, he gave the message of God and helped people find happiness within their own hearts by freeing them from their own worst enemy, the mind. Next, please. Srila Prabhupada giving classes wherever he went. Every morning and sometimes several times during the day, he would give talks. And his message would be consistently the same. When Srila Prabhupada arrived in Africa, at that time, the Africans asked Prabhupada, "So what is your message for Africa?" So Prabhupada said, "My message is the same for everyone. That whether you are Africans or Americans or Russians, that you are all ultimately the servants of God." And that was a universal message which Srila Prabhupada gave. And wherever he went, just by his magnetic presence and personality, he transformed people's lives. Next, please. And this is Srila Prabhupada towards the end of his life. And Srila Prabhupada was very sick in his olden last days. His body was completely decayed. And one of his scientist disciples, Bhakti Sarup Damodar Swami, Dr. Thaudam Singh, he came to meet him. And he was shocked to see Prabhupada. He was completely withered away. He was just a skeleton, practically no flesh. So Prabhupada was completely undisturbed. Prabhupada said that, "You are a scientist, so I am proving my theory now to you." Surprise, Prabhupada. "All my life I have been telling that we are not the body, we are the soul. Now you see, my body is gone, but I am still here." So Srila Prabhupada, he was completely undisturbed by his bodily condition. So he knew I am a soul. And even his own bodily condition, he used to instruct devotees. And here we see, this is his final days. He had no strength to speak. But even then, he was speaking in a dictaphone, giving his Bhaktivedanta purports to the Srimad Bhagavatam. So this was what Srila Prabhupada taught, that with every breath of his life, he was telling people about God. Because he knew that knowledge of God is the prime necessity for achieving real happiness. So, Srila Prabhupada was not just a personality who was there from 1966 to 1977. He left a legacy which is going to continue for the next 10,000 years. And indeed, we are all a part of that legacy of love. Why do we say this is the legacy of love? Ultimately, when God comes in whichever religion, whichever culture, He comes with His message. And the essence of His message is that you are all my children and I love you. If you love me, you will be happy. That is the gospel which all the great religions teach. And that is what Prabhupada taught in the modern times. So that's why His legacy is called the legacy of love. And now we will see how Srila Prabhupada's legacy is continuing even today. So this is Srila Prabhupada in New York City, alone walking on the streets in 1966, unrecognized by anyone. But although he was walking in the streets of New York, he had an impossible dream. He had this dream that he would make Americans devotees of Krishna. Next, please. And this is the Rath Yatra festival that he started all over the world. So in New York, Srila Prabhupada was walking alone on the streets, but he had a dream that he would stop the streets of New York and then he would make Lord Jagannath's cart move. And 10 years after his dedicated struggle in 1976, in the world's most important country, America, in its most important city, New York, on its most important street, Broadway, the Rath Yatra was held. And the most important street of the most important city of the most important country of the world closed down for Lord Jagannath to march. And the policemen of the New York Police Department served as the servants of Lord Jagannath, moving the people aside so that the cart could move. And there was Srila Prabhupada on chariot, casting his merciful glance on all the people of New York, were intrigued to see this magnificent festival of the chariot. So this was how Srila Prabhupada achieved impossible things. In fact, in San Francisco, this Rath Yatra festival is so popular that the mayor of San Francisco has declared Rath Yatra Day as an official holiday. And thousands of citizens of San Francisco, they come to participate in the Rath Yatra. This is how, from an unknown person walking on the streets of America, of New York, he brought about a festival on the same streets just by his pure devotion and education. Next, please. This is in America, New York. And this is Srila Prabhupada's literary legacy. This is the BBT, Bhaktivedanta Book Trust. Next, please. Yeah. So Prabhupada wrote over 70 books in more than 80 languages. The Encyclopedia Britannica writes that in its 1974 edition, that Bhaktivedanta Swami astonished scholars by his prodigious writing of books. There are many authors who write books, but Srila Prabhupada wrote not one, not two, not three, but 70 books. And these were not just his own ideas or his own thoughts flowing. Each book contained Sanskrit verses with their translations, with their word-to-word meanings and with their purports. Profound wisdom. And Srila Prabhupada, he wrote all this not in seclusion. He wrote it while he was traveling all around the world, giving hundreds of talks, writing thousands of letters, training thousands of disciples, and managing a worldwide organization. So that's why the Encyclopedia Britannica expresses its astonishment at how Prabhupada wrote so many books. Srila Prabhupada, all day, he would be talking about Krishna to people who came to meet him. And all night, he would be talking about Krishna to people who did not come to meet him. That was through his books. That was his compassion. And that is his legacy, which is continuing on today. So his books have been translated into over 80 languages. When the books were especially, when Bangladesh was first a part of India, then it became a part of Pakistan and became separate. So, because Bangladesh is a Muslim country, so there's a lot of propaganda that the whole world is now taking toward Islam. So then, when Prabhupada's followers went there, and then they showed that this Bhagavad Gita is translated into Urdu, and it's been extensively distributed in Urdu, people couldn't believe it. Came looking up and down and left and right and everywhere. And this is true about practically every major language in the world. that those people who consider that they have nothing to do with Vedic culture, they are reading Srila Prabhupada's books. Next, please. Yeah, so this is Srila Prabhupada's books being distributed. Srila Prabhupada's followers, they distribute millions and millions of books all over the world. Next, please. Yes. So, the Bhakti, just go back to the previous slide, please. The Bhaktivedanta Book Trust is the world's largest publisher of religious books. In fact, in every minute, 7 books are distributed. Every minute. That is the potency of the legacy of Srila Prabhupada. Next, please. So this is Srila Prabhupada's legacy in India. In India, in Bengal, there is a Mayapur Dham. There is a place where Sri Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared. It is unknown even to Indians. Srila Prabhupada came with his disciples. And it was an overgrown forest over there. And you couldn't see a single human being anywhere around. And Prabhupada planted a stick on the ground and he told his disciples, "This will be our international headquarters." The disciples looked around and bewildered. International headquarters? We don't see even an Indian national over here. But that was Prabhupada's vision. And now you got extensive property over there. We are all coming from Mayapur only recently. So we had an international festival. And thousands and thousands of devotees come from all over the world for this festival. But this, you see, is the main building of the Mayapur temple. Beautiful temple. Next, please. Previous, please. So, I'm sorry for the... So, Prabhupada, just as the Christians have their Vatican, the Muslims have their Mecca, Srila Prabhupada envisioned that the ISKCON devotees, the followers of the Vedic path all over the world, will have their own religious center in Mayapur. And there Srila Prabhupada has envisioned, and that is actively going on, the building of the world's largest religious temple. It's called the Temple of the Vedic Planetarium, where not only will be a huge structure, but once a person enters, he'll be able to see the whole universe as it is explained in the Vedic literature. So it is a internationally anticipated project, which will be the crowning glory for India when it comes about. Next, please. This is Srila Prabhupada penetrating the Iron Curtain. Srila Prabhupada, he went just for 6 days to Russia, and even in that time his visit was under strict KGB surveillance. But Srila Prabhupada, in that short time, he met one Russian, Ivan, and he inspired him to dedicate his life to the service of God. And next please. Yes. This is a temple just a few blocks from the Kremlin. The Kremlin, as many of you will be knowing, is the Russian parliament. And just a few blocks of the Russian parliament, ISKCON has got a prime spot of land. And there, this is a temple which is soon going to come up. So we see how Srila Prabhupada, actually, in the modern time, there were these two blocks, the Soviet bloc and the American bloc. So Prabhupada, he established Krishna consciousness in the first world, in the second world, and India, third world. The Prabhupada spread Krishna consciousness everywhere. Next, please. Yeah, this is thousands of pilgrims assembling for a spiritual festival. Next, please. Yeah, this is the food for life distribution in the recent tsunami disaster. Srila Prabhupada, he was not just hard-hearted, philosophical, catering to giving spiritual knowledge. He wanted to take care of people completely. And once when he saw some children trying to get some food from a dustbin where it had been thrown, and Prabhupada's compassionate heart melted. And at that time he inaugurated the Global Food for Life program, and she proclaimed that 10 miles around his temple there should be no starvation. And devotees are actively working on that direction. Next, please. So this is millions of people are being distributed free food. In fact, in every second, one plate of food is distributed. One plate of hot, fresh meal is distributed. 1 second every day. And ISKCON Food for Life program is the world's largest vegetarian relief program. Next, please. Yeah. Can you go back, please? So, in the tsunami, the 300,000 plates of hot meals were distributed from day one of the disaster in India, Sri Lanka, Thailand, and Indonesia. And the New York Times, it has commented about the Food for Life that their amount of missionary work has given them a status comparable to what Mother Teresa had in Calcutta. The New York Times reported that by meeting these people, you can swear that they are just saints dedicated. The New York Times is saying that they are saints dedicated to the service of humanity. Actually, I had that quote on print, but unfortunately, we couldn't get it. So this is Srila Prabhupada's legacy. And Srila Prabhupada's legacy continues in the form of scientific preaching. Srila Prabhupada wanted to scientifically establish the existence of God in the soul. So he started the Bhaktivedanta Institute. And the Bhaktivedanta Institute, it has organized 3 international conferences attended by many Nobel laureates and eminent scientists, which talk about how life comes from life. In fact, Bhaktivedanta Institute is the international pioneer in consciousness studies, in trying to explain what is this consciousness. In fact, the Bhaktivedanta Institute Center in Mumbai is among only the 4 centers in the world which offers an MS in consciousness. It is offering this in connection with BITS Pilani, and it has been recognized by universities all over the world for its pioneering role in bringing consciousness studies into the field of science. And also Srila Prabhupada, he wanted to prove how life does not come from chemicals, it comes from life. So his scientist disciples have written academically acclaimed books debunking the theory of evolution. 2 of his disciples, Michael Cremo and Richard L. Thompson, they wrote a controversial bestseller called The Forbidden Archaeology, which is extensively documenting evidence about how Darwin's theory is not based on facts. And then Michael Cremo has further written a book called Human Devolution, which explains the Vedic version of the origin of life in scientific language. And he is being invited all over India and all over the world to give talks on explaining the Vedic science. So, Srila Prabhupada's legacy is continuing all over the world. Next, please. Yeah. So, Srila Prabhupada's legacy is not something which is just going on all over the world. It is also alive and vibrant right here where we are. Srila Prabhupada desired that especially Indians take to Krishna consciousness, because he felt that Indians are the people who have this culture, who have this culture, the lifestyle in their own blood. And if Indians take to Krishna consciousness, he envisioned that India would become a world leader. In fact, Srila Prabhupada envisioned a global East-West synthesis as a combination of Indian wisdom and Western resources, Western wealth. Srila Prabhupada would compare the Indians to a lame man and the Americans to a blind man. Indians were lame because they were crippled by centuries of foreign exploitation. And monetarily they are impoverished to some extent. Americans, they are flourishing materially, but they have no spiritual vision. about the state of America, Martin Luther King, he said, we live in an age of guided missiles and misguided men. So Prabhupada taught how to guide the men. And so he gave them the knowledge. So Prabhupada said, when the blind man and the lame man come together, and the lame man is carried by the blind man, and he gives direction, then both of them can reach the destination. Similarly, it was his vision that Indian wisdom combined with American wealth could usher in a new era in world history. Of course, for this, what is primarily required is that Indians have to understand their wealth. On August 15, 1947, India independently declared its dependence on the West. Independently, India rejected the culture, the philosophy, the lifestyle, started aping the West. Srila Prabhupada brought the Westerners to India and inspired Indians to practice spiritual life. And that's how he envisioned that if Indians understand the value of their legacy, then the whole world can be saved. So Srila Prabhupada would say, the condition of modern Indians is like a person sitting on jewels and begging for glass. Person who doesn't know what is the wealth he has and is begging for something which is not of much value. So, is it ready? Okay. So Srila Prabhupada's legacy is continuing all over the world. And Srila Prabhupada actually was like the head of an international family. One time, one of his disciples, lady disciples, Janaki Devi, she asked Prabhupada, because Prabhupada was sannyasi when he came to America, and they did not know anything, any of his antecedents, what he would do in India. So she asked Prabhupada, Swamiji, did you have any children? So Prabhupada looked at her and gave her a reply that brought tears to her eyes. Prabhupada says, are you not my child? So Prabhupada, he just was not as a philosopher who was giving his own way of thought and converting people to his own way of thought. Prabhupada saw himself as a spiritual father of all his disciples, and he loved and cared for them in that way. Once a lady asked the Prabhupada, Swamiji, will you pray for me? Prabhupada replied, I am always praying for you. Otherwise, what reason do I have to come to this foreign land? Prabhupada was the well-wisher of everyone. And he desired everyone's happiness. And his heart was tortured when he saw others suffering. But what made Srila Prabhupada special among the many great and compassionate souls in the world is that Prabhupada knew how to rectify the suffering of people. That is by connecting them with God, the scientific process of devotional service. So, Srila Prabhupada's legacy is here, as I said, alive and vibrant amongst us even today. It's the Bhaktivedanta Academy for Culture and Education, rekindling wisdom and reviving love. Next, please. Someone would like to read? You have the mic? Yeah.
Why educated intellectual young men do not forward to study this movement very seriously and help spread it all over India?
This is Srila Prabhupada's desire that educated Indians understand their own legacy and practice it and propagate it. That is what we are doing here at Bhaktivedanta Academy. Next, please. So, His Grace Radhesham Prabhu, he came here since 1994. When he came here, there was practically no one who knew, at least among the student community, who knew about Krishna consciousness. He came equipped with nothing but a desire to fulfill Srila Prabhupada's instruction. And he met some students from Bharati Vidyapeeth Engineering College, and he preached to them, and they became devotees. When first ISKCON Youth Forum started, at that time, what is our cassette library now coming up? That was the whole youth forum. And the first youth IYF meeting was held over there. And 6 people attended that meeting. That's how we started. So just as Srila Prabhupada started ISKCON from a very humble beginning, We see the same unfolding all over the world. How Srila Prabhupada's followers are carrying around, same is happening over here. And today, next please. Srila Prabhupada wanted intellectual Indians to take to Krishna consciousness. And India's most intelligent students, they choose to become engineers and doctors. And especially the students who are the most intelligent, they go to IITs. So Bhaktivedanta Academy is going to the places where the most intelligent Indians are available and giving them Indian wisdom and transforming them. So this is IIT Kharagpur. This is the base which is there, and you can see the students and the altar over there. Every morning there are 60 students coming for Mangal Aarti. Every morning there are not just one but two or sometimes three classes going on simultaneously for students of different levels. So Bill Gates, he said that the smartest people from all over the world come from the IITs in India. So Bhaktivedanta Academy for Culture and Education is offering the smartest people from all over the world for Srila Prabhupada's service. And for ultimately for the good of the whole world. Next please. And this is NIT Suratkal. So after the IITs come the National Institute of Technologies. So Pune has become like an epicenter from which there are representatives of Srila Prabhupada going to different parts of India and carrying on his legacy. So here also we see devotees practicing Krishna consciousness, coming for the morning program, chanting, dancing, and becoming free from all bad habits. Recently I had gone to Suratkal, and there the students were telling me that in the first year when students come, hardly 10% of them smoke or drink. And by the last year when they pass out, hardly 10% don't smoke or don't drink. So this modern education system, Prabhupada would call it a spiritual slaughterhouse. It destroys whatever spiritual tendencies are there, and it rules the person not only spiritually but also materially. But the bases are like spiritual saviors which save students from all bad habits and make them not just escapists who just become devoted to God and do nothing else. The students in IIT Kharagpur and NIT Suratkal and many of the other colleges, they are toppers in their academic performances. But along with that, they are also spiritual toppers. Because they have the topmost wisdom and they are sharing it with everyone else. Next please. So in order to explain the Vedic message in a way that the modern scientifically minded students can understand, IVF has brought many books. And these books are both for youth and for children. And thousands of books have been distributed, not just in the colleges in Pune or in India, but these books have been distributed all over the world. In fact, the Bhaktivedanta Book Trust, Prabhupada's official agency, organization for distributing books, has recognized how much the IVF books have been distributed. And they are going to take up now the publishing and distribution of IVF books. So this is itself, from Prabhupada's Bhaktivedanta Book Trust, testimony of how much these books of IVF are carrying on Prabhupada's legacy. Next please. So, we see, this photo had come in a report in a newspaper in Pune. IITians experiment with divinity. So, the newspaper report was amazed. How it is that IITians are wearing dhoti kurta and are chanting the names of God and are coming all the way from Kharagpur to Pune for a spiritual camp. So this is what is happening. So, it is history occurring. Spiritual leaders are being created at our Bhaktivedanta Academy for Culture and Education who will actually shape the future of the world. And we are all fortunate enough to be a part of that. Is there anything more? Yeah. So the contribution of ISKCON Pune and of BASE has been recognized by the international ISKCON community. So last year, His Grace Radhesham Prabhu got the Global Excellence Award for Youth Preaching. And then this year we had the privilege of organizing and hosting the National Youth Festival. This is the first time a youth festival was organized within ISKCON, India, and to a large extent worldwide, dedicated especially for the youth. And all over the ISKCON world, people are talking about the grand success of this festival. Back, please. So, our ISKCON Pune temple, actually in its congregation preaching means both congregation and youth, actually stood third in the whole ISKCON world. And again, His Grace Adishyam Prabhu was given the Jiva Goswami Award for excellent service for the organization of the youth festival. So, we see that actually historical things are happening right here. And we all have an opportunity to be a part of that. Not by neglecting our responsibilities, either worldly or spiritual, but by dovetailing all our talents in the service of God for the welfare of all living beings. So, thank you very much. I will request His Grace Adishyam Prabhu to come and give a concluding talk. Srila Prabhupada ki! Srila Prabhupada worldwide legacy ki! Bhaktivedanta Academy for Culture and Education ki! Thank you very much.
When one does not recognize God as the center of life,
that is going to require. You all have heard of this Samudra Manthan pastime, when demons and demigods came and they churned the milk ocean and they brought out Amrit. You know that? So on Dharmantri, who is also a form of Vishnu, he brought a jar of Amrit from that ocean. You heard of this in Dharmantri? Dharmantri is also a form of Vishnu. So he brought a jar of Amrit. But still then the demigods and demons were turning and keeping quiet. But when Dharmantri brought that Amrit pot, in it the demons snatched it from him. And they ran away. Namaskar, there was a big quarrel. So there were some strong demons. Like there was some giant who was the leader of the demons. So he snatched the pot and kept it with him. Like you say, might is right. So he was having the pot and nobody could take it from him. So all the strong demons, they all like, you know, surrounded one another and they took the jar and went away. So others, they were weakling demons who were thinking that we are never going to get anything. So the weak demons were saying, hey, come on, what is this? You should share and eat. Why are you not giving us? You are taking away the nectar and going like this. What is the strong demon said? If you have the Shakti, come. Then you can also get it. You have the power. So who are the strong demons? Capitalists are coming in. They have a capital check. Capitalists say that we have the intelligence, we have the resource, and we know how to multiply the resource. So we have the power. So we will rule the country. And who are those beginning demons? They are the communists who are raising flag and fighting for the stolen numbers. But the beauty is that both these weak demons and strong demons are thinking that the nectar belongs to me. I will drink it first, I will drink it first. But then they both have forgotten God, Dhanvantri, who brought the nectar out, who is a form of Vishnu. They have forgotten. Prabhupada explains the same thing in the Vishwakshatwadi says, how the communists and capitalists are fighting for land, fighting for wealth, fighting for bread, and everything, with the exclusion of God, keeping God far away. But is that an end to this fight? What is it? That cannot be any end. Of course, there was the end when Lord came as Mohini Murthy. When Lord came as Mohini Murthy, what did he do? He took away the part of nectar and they all handed over. And even the strongest of demons, when they saw Mohini Murthy, they were showing all the teeth and handed over the nectar to Mohini Murthy. And Mohini Murthy tricked them all. And in this way, the demons were finished. Similarly, if you don't surrender to Krishna, you will surrender to Maya. And see that. So today, the whole world is surrendering. To whom? Not to Krishna, but to Maya. So Maya appeared as Mohini Murthy and cheated them all. So then the whole world is getting cheated in the modern times, that's possible. But by the teachings of Prabhupada, again, we find that there is a cultural, religious connection, a revival, by understanding the message of the Vedas. He didn't think about change in the lives of some 80-year-old or 90-year-old people. To the great surprise of many educated people, Prabhupada talked about change in the lives of youth, very young people. This song was founded by Prabhupada with youth, college going boys and girls as the pioneers of the movement. And Prabhupada speaks in the West. In one of his days, Prabhupada was speaking on Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's appearance, his guru's appearance today. So Prabhupada was breaking down to tears. But he is telling his disciples that you boys and girls, you have helped me to propagate this moment. I am an old man, what can I do? So that Sachar Prabhupada really met in my heart. So Prabhupada used to say always that if one old man like me can do so much in this world, how much all of you young people can do for this world? So young people have young blood and they have vigor. And if they become wise, they become really powerful. What happens generally is, when you are young, we are simply foolish. We like going to movies, going to parties, and expending all of the energy in non-surgical things. If you go to the Janaki, you see the ragging is so bad. The ragging is done to teach every first year student how to smoke, how to drink, how to watch Bluetooth, how to take drugs. You cannot escape. They force people to do this thing so that they ensure that everyone becomes a demon. The kind of ragging that's being done in NIT. All of those things. So in youth, we use our senses to become degraded and commit all such a simple activity. And then, although we may get a software job and earn a lot of money, in our old age we spend all that money in ailments, in diseases, curing the diseases like that. And old age when you are very weak, you have no stamina, no strength in the body, then the wisdom is gone. When you are 80 years and 90 years, you think, alas, when I take a look at my life back, I understand how I have wasted my life when you are 80 or 90 years old. This is a general trend in this world. When you are young, you misuse your senses and resources. And when you are old, you get the wisdom. But your Prabhupada reversed this trend. Prabhupada taught how a young boy or a young girl can acquire the wisdom of an 80-year-old man when they are just 18. So this is a combination of great wisdom with youth. And this you'll find in the sun. Just take a look around you. So many youths from so many places of sun. Like this, all over India we have more than 6-8 centers. Thousands of youths are practicing. Very, very seriously. And we are not the only one in Pune, there are other centers like Juhu, Delhi, Chapati, and Chandigarh, Chennai, Hyderabad, Calcutta, many other centers in India. Here abroad, a new base has been recently started in London, but then the final center started. And similarly, in America also many new bases are coming. There was one year here for Karunanand Prabhu from Canada. So he is establishing a base in Montreal and Toronto. So, we may be going in a ministry level, but then many other places people are starting also. So this is going to spread like a wildfire all over the world. And we are very hopeful that in the near future, many, many youths worldwide will take Krishna consciousness in not in hundreds or thousands, but in millions. And it's going to bring about a revolution all over the world. And Prabhupada will be very pleased. In fact, when Prabhupada was sitting in India, he had to struggle a lot. So he sincerely desired that Indian youth should take the Krishna consciousness. Unfortunately, at that time, Indians were mad after the Western culture. They could not see the glory of Indian culture. So anyway, Prabhupada wished well when he returned to India, like when he was sitting in India also. But the way Indians are taking up now, Krishna consciousness is very, very interesting. This is Indian youth. So we are very happy that all of you here in Pune have taken up Krishna consciousness seriously and you have got a lot to give to the world. Do not think that I will stand the same grounds and I will follow the principles and I will settle in my life peacefully. That anybody can do. What is expected of you is to extend yourself and distribute the same good fortune that you have achieved in your life. That is very important. Many of the IITians and NITians are going to come to Pune, settle in Pune. This is the first year our IIT batch is passing out. About a dozen boys are passing out. And about 6,000 boys are in Pune. 5,000 to 6,000. So they are going to settle in IBM and many other companies in Pune. So people from all over India, those NITs and IITs are coming to Pune to make the settlement. Some of them are going to get married and settle in Pune. Some of them are taking up jobs just now. And as it is said, Pune is called the Oxford of the East. That is of course said with respect to material education. But we also hope that India will become a place, Pune will become a place for such youth. In future we have a plan that we will make a headquarters for this in Pune, where we will have thousands and thousands of youth speakers from all over the world to come and stay here, spend months together, attend courses, learn about teaching in colleges, how to bring youth to Krishna consciousness, and then go to different parts of the world. So every one of you here has great amount of responsibility and contributing to that goal of how to make Pune the center that you can come and learn and so on. Other things happening in many levels. We have many devotees. We have Kirtas Prabhu who has come from Secunderabad. We have Matchak Prabhu who has come from Poland. Sitting behind. We have Govinda Madhav Prabhu from South Africa. And we have Gopal Vrindapal Prabhu who is also Mahaprabhu. There are many devotees who are coming. Many, many. More than 50 to 100 devotees have come from all over the world. Stayed for a few months or a year and gone back. And we hope that in the future we will be able to pay the good service. So building a, constructing a big infrastructure is not a religious project. If you get some donation, you can make a big building. But what constitutes the organization of the people who are making the organization? So I requested Chaitanya Prabhu to speak on this topic today so that we can understand how much Prabhupada suffered to please follow the world and how much responsibility we have. Don't think that I will be also one of the, you know, Krishna practitioners, wherever I am, I will stand one after long. Don't take it very lightly. Take it very serious. Prabhupada is very pleased and you will get abundant mercy of the Lord and all the acharyas if you take this teaching as a very serious mission in your life. Everyone is here, you have to take up a job, you have to complete your studies, many of you will get married, 99% of you. But how you live your life is very important. Are you going to live in a very dedicated way? Or just be another video of a person who then eats, sleeps, and somehow spends his life and passes away from this world? So let us try to work in the direction what Prabhupada has given us so wonderfully through his book. Shri Prabhupada Ji. Jai. Shri Prabhupada Ji. All right.